have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Daniel. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9. I went to school at Fruitland, and my homiletics professor taught us or drilled it in our heads to preach through books of the Bible. And I've tried to do that since I've been in the ministry. He said if you preach through books, then nobody can accuse you of preaching to somebody. You know, if it's in the Bible and if you preaching through it and it hits, well, that's just the way the Lord works. I'll never forget my first church, just a little small Baptist church, and I gave an invitation one day, I think it was a night, and this big old man came down the aisle and he shook my hand. I hated to shake hands with him because he was a big man, and every time he shook my hand, he killed me. I mean, I had this, what you call that? I had that surgery, carpal tunnel. I had that, and boy, when he shook my hand, it brought tears to my eyes. But he grabbed my hand that night, and he said, "I didn't know what he was coming down for. I thought he might give his heart to the Lord and needed some prayer." But he said, "I am sick and tired of you preaching to me." That's what he told me. I said, "Brother, I'm not preaching to you. I'm just preaching the gospel, preaching the message." But anyway, that's why I love to preach through the books of the Bible. Sometimes it'll get you in trouble because I'm in Daniel chapter number 9 tonight and dealing with the 70 weeks. And I won't tell you what, if has anybody ever done any studying, I've done some studying for the last 2 weeks on this message. And hope it'll be a blessing to you and hope that I won't confuse you as I go. But let me read what the Bible says, beginning in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. This is what the Word of God says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth to the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troubled times. And after that 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince, that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of and until the end of the war desolation are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word tonight. I want to talk to you about 70 weeks, the fulfillment of those 70 weeks. Gabriel said the prophetic clock would start at the time that the decree was issued to rebuild Jerusalem. We know when that was because of Nehemiah. If you remember, we went through the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah asked the king if he could go and rebuild the city. And from that date of the decree to the time of the Messiah would be 483 years. And we know from history that the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was given by the king of Persia, somewhere around 445 B.C. You can see that in Nehemiah chapter 2 if you read verses 1 through 8. And the first unit of 49 years was seven sevens. Seven times seven is 49. It covers the time that it took to rebuild Jerusalem with the walls and the streets and the trenches. But also in a time of trouble that I read here, we remember that Nehemiah fought opposition when he was building the wall. And this rebuilding in the book of Nehemiah makes a lot of sense once we get into it. So using the Jewish custom of 360 days in a year, not 365 like we have, 483 years after 445 B.C. places us around A.D. 30, which would work out with the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in Matthew 21, 1 through 9, and the prophecy in Daniel specifies that, and after the completion of the 483 years, the Bible says that the anointed one will be cut off. We read that in verse 26. And this was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, was crucified. And then Daniel 9:26 continues with a prediction that after the Messiah is killed, the people of the ruler who would come would destroy the sanctuary and destroy the city. We read that. This was fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The ruler who will come that the Bible talks about is a reference, I believe, to the Antichrist, who it seems will have some connection with Rome, since he was the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem. And then we're going to talk about the final weeks of the 70 weeks, of the 77s. 490 years. 69 have been fulfilled in history. I want you to get that. This leaves one more seven. And that 7 years yet to be fulfilled. And most scholars, or most commentaries that I read, believe that we're living in a huge gap right now between the 69th week and the 70th week. And the prophetic clock has been paused, as it were, the final seven of Daniel, what is usually, what most theologians say, is the tribulation period. So the 69 weeks have come to pass, is what I'm trying to get at. And there's one more week, which is 7 years, that Daniel's prophesying about. So let's just dig into it. The prophecy of the 70 weeks began, as I said, when the decree went to go forth and rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah did that. The angel Gabriel told Daniel in a vision in verse 21. He says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation," which is his prayer time, which was somewhere around 3 o'clock. Anyway, Gabriel told Daniel that 483 years after that decree, the Messiah, the Prince, would come forth. And get this now, you can do the math, you can study it. Exactly 483 years later, Jesus entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And remember, they laid down palm branches, and he presented himself as the Messiah to his people, the Jews. And you know the rest of the story. Instead of accepting him as the Messiah, they crucified him. But I want you to listen. God is not finished with Israel. God's not finished with the Jewish people. God's program for Israel, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, found here in the book of Daniel, will take 490 years to complete. Don't you listen? 483 years has already happened, leaving 7 years to be fulfilled. And I believe that's going to be during the tribulation. So let's talk about the countdown tonight. The countdown. Daniel's countdown talks about a period of 69 weeks that will begin on a particular day, and it did, and end on a particular day, and that hadn't happened yet. As I said earlier, it started in the book of Nehemiah, and you can go read it and look up the dates, and it'll end during the tribulation. And there will be a gap in time, and I believe, and most theologians believe, we're in that gap right now. But finally, one day, there'll be a 70th week. Theologians say that the 69 weeks in Daniel refer to a group of years. So that was hard for me to understand. That a week refers to a group of 7 years. So, as I've already mentioned, the total is 483 years. 69 weeks. Remember, a week refers to 7 years. So 69 times 7 is 483 years. But 7 times 70 is 490 years. And there's 7 years missing. You get my point? 7 years is missing. And I believe that 7 years is the tribulation. So let's talk about the separation. Number two, the separation. After the 69th week, there's a great gap. And where does this gap come from? If you'll look at verse 24 of chapter 9, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined unto thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end to sin and to make reconciliation for the iniquity. Remember now, he's talking to his people. He's talking to the Jews. To make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 24 tells us what's going to happen. None of that has happened yet. He's talking to the Jewish people. Now, there are some Jews that have come to know the Lord in a personal way, but most of the Jews in Israel have it. I remember when I went to Israel, we had a guide that took us. He didn't drive the bus, but he was the guide that took us all over the place and showed us everything, where Jesus was born, where the crucifixion was, everything. And I asked him while we were on that trip, was he a Christian? And he said, no. Don't believe in the Messiah. We still waiting on a Messiah. He says that I am a conservative Jew. I didn't know what a conservative Jew was, but he wasn't a Christian. And verse 24 is talking about the Jews. He tells us in verse 24 what's going to take place. And the 70 weeks or the 490 years are for 6 things to happen. And I just read them, but let me just go over them one more time. Number one, finish the transgressions, talking to Israel. Make an end to sin. Make reconciliation for iniquity. None of that's happened to the Jews yet. To bring in everlasting righteousness, that hasn't happened. I don't know if you keep up with Israel, but it's in constant battle. With everybody around them, they're in their little state right in the middle of all of the. Everybody hates them. Everybody hates Jerusalem. And to seal up a vision of prophecy and to anoint the most holy. None of that's taken place yet. Not yet. Verse 24. None. Not one of those prophecies has been fulfilled in the first 69 weeks. So there must be a future time for God's people, the Israelites. And there will be. You see, there's a 7 year missing. And when will that take place? I just personally believe that'll take place during the tribulation. So let me talk about number three, the 70th week. Remember, week means seven. Once the church is raptured out of this world, once the God tells Jesus that he's ready for his church to come home, what a day that'll be. Amen. Once the church is raptured out of this world, the final 7 year period of Daniel begins, and it's called the tribulation. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 25. The Bible says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, that's Jesus, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the streets shall be built again, and the walls, even in troubled times. Now that has taken place. Verse 25, where you see that word prince is talking about the Lord. He's going to confirm a covenant with many for a week, but in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to the sacrifice. And then look at verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And then one comes who makes it desolate, the Bible is saying here. So I want you to notice a couple of things here. There are two princes that are identified here in those verses of Scripture, in verse 25 and in verse 26. And the princes are identified. In verse 25, the Messiah is called the Prince. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 26 and in verse 27, the Antichrist is called the Prince. He's called the Prince that is to come. The second prince there in verses 26 and 27 is the Antichrist, and he's going to, you know this, confirm a covenant with Israel. He's going to be a peacemaker. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring a covenant with Israel, or confirm a covenant with Israel for 7 years, and help them rebuild the temple, help them restore all of the sacrifices. He's going to be an answer to prayer. But the Bible teaches that there will be an interruption. And you'll see that in verse 27. It says there in verse 27, you can read it, in the middle of a week. Remember, a week is 7 years. In the middle of the week, the Bible says there, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The prayers, the sacrifices, all of that, the Antichrist is going to say, it's over. He'll break his promise, and he'll do away with the Jewish sacrifices, and the results will be called the Great Tribulation. Remember, the tribulation is split. If you've ever done a study in Revelation, it's 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years will be a terrible, terrible, terrible time. And this time is often called in the Bible the Jacob's trouble. Let me just read what the Bible says in Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Talking about this. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in these days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither be the Sabbath. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. It's known as Jacob's trouble. So, Jesus even said this. Will be one of the most awful times ever imagined. But all of this, listen to me, must come to pass in order for God to finally deal with his people, the Jews, his chosen people. And then comes the second advent. You know, we get the rapture and the second advent messed up a lot. The rapture's not the second coming. The rapture's the rapture. Christ comes in the clouds. He doesn't come to earth. He comes in the clouds and calls his church up. After the tribulation will be the advent when Christ will come as Lord of Lords. The second coming will recur at the close of the 70 weeks. And the Lord's going to come. He's going to reconcile his people to himself. And Romans 11:26 will be fulfilled, where it says, "All Israel shall be saved as it is written." Two reasons for the tribulation period, and we'll give a invitation. Two reasons for the tribulation period. Number one, to purge the Jewish rebels. The Jews today don't believe in Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah that'll come and save them and bring peace to their country. But during the tribulation period, they're going to see that they need Jesus. So two reasons for the tribulation period. Number one, to purge the Jewish rebels. And number two, to punish the Gentile rejectors. So the tribulation is not a place that we want to go. The Bible teaches that during the tribulation, this 7-year period of time, the wrath of God is going to come primarily upon the Jews and the Gentiles, which is us, who have rejected him as Lord and Savior. So here's the good news tonight. If you're saved, we won't have to go through none of this. But here's the bad news. We all know people that are not saved. I have them in my family. You have them in your family. And knowing what will take place during the tribulation period ought to cause us to do what Daniel did, what we talked about last week, occupy till he comes. Let's do all we can do. Let's keep on keeping on. Listen, we send money so missionaries can go and tell others about Jesus Christ. But just because we send that money doesn't mean we've done all we can do. We've got to do it ourselves. We've got people in our family. We've got friends. And we've got to live that Christian life in front of them and share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray, and musicians will come, and we'll have an invitation. Father, thank you so much for this time together tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, even though it's hard to understand sometimes when we, especially in the book of Daniel, when we read all of this, and Lord, it's just hard to understand. But I'm so glad, Lord, that your Holy Spirit helps us, Lord, to understand your word. And Lord, what's most important is we don't need to be here during the tribulation. Lord, I prayed if there's anybody under the sound of my voice tonight that's not sure that they've been saved, that they've been born again, that their name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I pray, Lord, that before they leave this place tonight, that they'd say a prayer and ask you to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins, and to Lord, I pray that they repent of their sins and live for you. Lord, there's people in our family. I've got people on my mind right now, Lord, that I need to share the gospel with. And I pray, Lord, that you'd impress on the people here tonight's mind, people that need to hear the good news that Jesus saves. So, Lord, just bless tonight. I pray, Lord, as we give this invitation, if anybody needs to come, maybe just come and pray. Lord, that you would impress them to do that tonight. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.